Yo, what up? Big up on a Monday one time. Big up. Hey, big up on a Monday, I'm saying. 2021.
That's 2020.
I don't know, bro. 2020. What must we say now? We can't even say yo.
Let's say Salibonani. Good afternoon.
Shit, dog.
You know, yeah, let's take it back to the roots.
To the roots. You know, we're back again with another episode. This one is kind of like different. It's more like a... Wanted to be an interview, but it won't be an interview. Wanted to be a conversation with one of these guys that you guys probably heard about. I don't know if you can say he's a celebrity. I just don't know. Can you say he's a celebrity?
I mean, I don't know what defines a celebrity, but he's someone.
Exactly. Someone.
He's not no one, but he's someone.
Yeah, with someone.
That's good.
With someone special who's joining us and probably talk about whatever we want to talk about with him. Talk some shit. Swear. Yeah, feel free to swear. You can say fuck, whatever you want to say. You can talk shit. You know, it's not red deal, but we're trying to get
it's
there.
Uncensored.
Yeah, it's uncensored.
Yeah, yeah, it's,
I don't even know if I have to mention what it does. Do you have to mention the whole journalist thing? Paperback Africa. Come on. If you search for him online, they'll tell you that he's a journalist. Yeah. Like, journalist.
But what does... I don't know what he actually does.
That's the same thing that I was telling him. And I'm like, bro, I don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
If he's there and then say, I don't know what to say. You know what I mean? But yeah, we're joined by Gilmore T, yeah. The global citizen.
Yeah.
This nigga just got GQ best dressed.
Yeah.
Fuck.
GQ.
Is it GQ ever like Umuntu onke even Jay-Z or it's GQ South Africa?
So, literally it's GQ because you know GQ has GQ in Australia, in the US, in Europe and in Africa. It's the one that's in South Africa.
So four of them do their best dressed men.
Mm.
So it's from the continent.
And how does it feel, bro?
It's good. I mean, of course it feels good. It's been 10 years of getting there. So that's the thing. So when actually someone says overnight success is 10 years,
mm-hmm.
it's exactly that.
Shit.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And it makes sense to me now because I'm thinking when 2009 actually,
mm-hmm.
that's when I started doing stuff and then it's only 2020 that everything is happening. Actually, 2019, everything started happening for me. So it's 10 years later.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, so I've been pushing for 10 years.
I've been pushing since high school. I mean, since I finished high school, I was already in the arts industry.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's why I'm saying tell your boys to stop fighting me because tell your boys to stop fighting me because I have 10 years of working. So what they're seeing now, which is just the flowers, is actually a tree that has roots deep. And those roots are sustained not by just fluff things, but by major things.
He just went straight in.
I was keeping that one maybe at the end.
No.
But obviously we'll probably play the voice note. I think I don't know, maybe at the end.
There's people that are claiming to be managers. I don't know why not. Like this guy, there is a... What's this? Paper bag. I won't say names.
Yeah. No.
There's a paper bag.
Yeah.
That thinks it's a manager. There's a paper bag. You know, there's a paper bag that's going across Africa. I don't know, but there's a paper bag that thinks it's a manager. But anyway, it's busy managing people. I've seen, and there's artists that are busy on it. I'm just censoring myself because so that I don't offend people, but I'm going to offend you. So anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's already offensive. There's that paper bag that's been operating. And anyway, if you want to be part of that paper bag, it's up to you, Lord. Nino, you know the paper bag that I'm talking about. I'm sure that they've I'm sure they've approached you. There's artists like ASAP that are part of it. No, I'm not being sarcastic, guys. I'm not being funny, but I'm being honest. But I jump into the paper bag. Jump into that paper bag. We'll see. How far it's gotten you, or how far it gets you, but actually, is the paper bag, has it got a brand in yet? Is what I got to ask you first of all. It's plain. It was a plain paper bag. I mean, it's a proof of a new story. That's a good job. I never did. No. But anyway, there's a paper bag called, it's a paper bag something. I won't say name because I'm not shooting nobody. I was about to search or something.
Someone teased Kilmo. He said,
That was a opinion. That's what they see, you know. Yeah. That's what they see. It's like if someone sees you, someone would say,
that's fucking nigga.
It's a fuck boy.
Yeah.
Me?
I actually used to think you were a fuck boy.
You get what I'm saying?
Why?
I used to think you were a fuck boy because it's the cover. It's the first impressions. What you see from someone is what you judge them by.
So what did you see the first time?
I was like, fuck boy.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And then it's you have like conversation. That. I'm like, actually, this guy is actually a cool guy. These guys work hard. I always say to people that, you know, Tino works hard and I call you Tino, but everyone else calls you Love or whatever. Mm. They think they love you, but they don't. but then I always say, Tino, you know, Tino and his brother work so hard.
Yeah.
You guys don't know that, but you just think they're fuck boys that hang around H&M.
Yeah,
but they actually work hard. Those
that's
boys.
That's what most people think.
Yeah,
that's what most people think. Do you know? There's a time when I started this thing at NAST, like doing journalism. Mm-hmm.
Do you know most people were shocked? Say, when at NAST, wapasa. You know, people when they look at us, you know,
I think a lot of people I think when they see us, they don't even know that we actually are in school.
Yeah.
We're actually studying.
I think also the other problem is maybe when people see us
from the outside
looking smart and
anyway,
shit,
yeah. getting yeah. drunk, you know, or talking shit, niggas are like, the fuck? These niggas are probably dumb. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. That's another thing that I hate. That's why I said I'm going to do your interview, and I'm hoping it's a clever one, because I hate doing interviews, especially in Zimbabwe. Every time you do an interview, people want to talk about the fluff things that they see. So they see you dressed up. Mm-hmm. I dress up because I want to look nice. I want to look good. I want to feel good. It makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that I want to be talking about fashion.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fashion is just a way of expression mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
You see me and then you're like, okay, this guy is dope.
Mm-hmm.
Then it brings some interest to you. But I don't want to talk about fashion. I have so many things that I'm interested in about. I'm interested in development. I think NGOs are full of shit. I'm interested in branding. I'm interested in sustainability in the creative industry.
Mm-hmm.
All those things. I'm interested in spirituality.
But people just see you on the
So
what inspired this look?
Like, which brand are you following? I'm like, no brand. I just wear what I want to wear and I buy what I want to buy. Also, what's on trend? I don't know, my nigga. I don't know. Buy GQ, they'll tell you what's on trend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I really did my research on this nigga.
Yeah.
This night, I couldn't sleep this one night. Then I remember I spoken to Kimo a long time when I was in Harare. I sent him a voice note on some, yo, dog, I need you on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me start searching. I was really looking for the scandals. I was like, but fuck.
Yeah.
There's no scandals that I'm finding.
One
him.
Scandal.
Yeah, that scandal that you just said. But then before that, then I met all these things. Then I saw this old picture of yours with the afro.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck? This nigga's like this. As remember, I got him coma. Then now I look at him, I'm like, fuck, so this nigga is grown.
Yeah.
Then now I'm looking at the whole paperback Africa thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking, what was it called? Your agency, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that name, sort of like, I don't know what it means. Mm. Is it a Portuguese something, something?
Yeah, it's Persian. It just means talent. But, you know, I think it's a transition of, it transitioned into paper like Africa. I think for me, the most important thing is like when you're, actually it goes into branding. If you're going to name something, it needs to hit you. So when someone says stars,
mm-hmm.
when even someone shouts stars, even if they're talking about the stars that are just in the sky, you should be able to glance and say, oh,
mm-hmm.
are you talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that the name of the agents was just not, it didn't connect with everything that we were all about, and it had to change.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a 2-year break before that, and then we changed to Paperback Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Paperback Africa, I think it basically holds everything that I do and what we do also, because Paperback Africa is a content creation, management, and PR company.
Crazy.
So what we do, why it's called Paperback Africa, is a situation where you're going into a shop, mm-hmm. and you have a plastic bag or paper bag, mm-hmm. you choose things that you throw in that bag. It's of your choice, right? it's of your choice. Yo. But then for us, why we didn't say paper bag Zimbabwe is because we want to have African content, African projects, and African creatives in our paper bag.
I like that.
Hence, it's a paper bag full of that, and it's Africa.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's deep.
So that's just that. And now it makes sense. Every time when someone even says paper bag, I'm like, oh, you're talking to me.
Yeah.
So I can relate. It connects. So it's whenever you're doing branding, you're thinking of naming yourself mm-hmm. as an artist or naming a clothing brand you're going to do or a company, you need a name that is going to raise something yeah. with you. It you recognize with it.
Mm-hmm.
So even with designers, I'm always saying, just don't have these weird names, Uti, Laquisha Fashions. What the hell is that? So if someone says Baka, there's a young lady called Yolanda, her brand is called Baka.
Mm-hmm.
She says every time someone says Baka, it speaks to her. It so you does. Always have to it think does. About it when it you're does. Talking about branding.
It does.
Yeah.
But growing up as Gilmore, did you ever think you'd have something so amazing? Like, where did you get the whole influence to say, now let me dress this way?
Yeah.
Let me focus on this. Let me be a creative.
I don't know. You know, when I was like in primary school, I always wanted to be a pilot. I literally wanted to be a pilot, and I was like, yeah, I want to be a pilot because I was fascinated by, planes and things like that. But also, I wanted to be a pilot or a dermatologist. I didn't know it was called a dermatologist. It was called a skin doctor to me.
Oh.
And I wanted to be a skin doctor because, why? I'll say skin doctor, because my mom had issues with her skin.
Oh.
So when I was growing up, I used to see my mom struggling with skin issues. That's how I started using things like aloe vera also myself
mm-hmm.
for my beard and many other things. Because I saw my mom having like skin issues. And I was like, I want to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a dermatologist or a pilot. And then I think when I was like in grade 6, grade 7, I started doing a lot of writing. And my teacher then, Mrs. Gwebo, would say, hey, when my mom comes for consultation, hey, ukiyumo ya pala. And I'm a composition, okay, we are pala ukiyumo. And then in grade 6, I did a painting in grade 6. And my painting was selected to represent my school at the National Art Gallery, now where I work from. Then I realized, I think towards the end, when I was going to high school, I realized, no, I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to do something in the creative space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't know it was called the creative space.
But wait, for you to... Okay, you obviously got that inspiration, say, let me be in the creative space.
Yeah.
But what's your parents' reaction?
My mom, because I was raised by my mom. My father passed as I was 3 years old, so okay. I don't know him. My mom has always been one that allowed us to be, you know, as creative as we can, because my brother used to play chess,
mm-hmm.
darts, and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He's a civil engineer now.
Oh,
my other brother is a journalist, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He did media, whatever, communication.
Mm-hmm.
He holds a BA, I think, in that. my sister is in marketing, so I realized in everything that we were doing, there's some creativeness into it, because my sister is a marketer, my brother is into journalism, media, basically. The other brother is a civil engineer, so there's some creative thing into that.
You guys raised well.
I guess so, but we grew up mostly by ourselves, because my mom was also working in Harare, coming back. And I think we're taught to be very responsible at a very tender age.
Wow.
We used to even have, like, we still keep fish, guppies and goldfish. We started keeping them in 1996.
Shit.
Right. So I was in grade one.
You're not born. Eh?
You're still a sperm, my nigga.
Probably like a month old or something.
No, you were still a sperm.
Nigga was still a sperm.
So I think there was also, I think being responsible and being creative started off when we were pretty much young because of the environment.
Mm.
And keeping out on my hamsters, you know, those white big rats.
Yeah.
We used to keep those. Like, my parrots, we had a parrot for 5 years.
Fuck, you niggas are even bougie, yeah?
No, we're like the bougie kids.
Yeah.
But my nigga. Because we're in Popoma, and I remember in Popoma.
Yeah,
I was in Popoma by my grandparents' house. And then I remember in Popoma, abantu babeslang, I'm a cheese boy, because that's Funde town. So it's about Sasikamba saying, get him chove next day, and then we go into town. So we'd spend most of the time in town, and then we come back in the evening. But that was like just that. And I think the environment allowed that. But obviously, your parents worry when you're thinking, oh, I want to be in the creative industry. They're like, what does that mean? I want to be in the art space.
Yeah,
but
they ask you to say, does it make money?
Does it make money?
Because I think also, especially in Africa, bro,
yeah.
Our parents at the time, they're fucked up. You know, like the normal jobs.
Teacher,
I want to be a fashion designer.
They're like, what the hell is that?
What the hell is that?
Do you know, actually, A-level, I did accounting,
mm-hmm.
economics, and business management. That's what I did, A-level. I went all the way to A-level and I did that and I studied that. Which way, now I see it helps me a lot because I'm very accountable. And I want to know where the money is coming from. I want to know how we're sustaining ourselves. Yeah. You can't come and you're like an artist and say, oh, I just want to sing, I want to be famous. Usually even with the people who work with the Paperback Africa, when you come through and you say, I ask you like, what's your ultimate goal?
Mm-hmm.
Usually when people say, you know, I mean, I just want to be famous, but I want the girls. And then I know it's not the person that I should work with. Most people that we work with, they always say, I want to be an authority in the space that I operate within. If I'm a fashion designer, if I'm a musician,
I want to
be an authority. I want to own. Automatically for me, that connects me to the person to say, okay, this is the person I should work with because they're thinking sustainability. Mm-hmm. Sustainability is just not money. It's also influence.
And on that, how do you come up, how do you decide to say these are the people that I want to work with? Like Nambo... Berita, ASAP. How do you choose to say, no, I fuck with ASAP's vision, I fuck with Mbo's vision. Let me work with them. And these people are your friends now, right?
They are my friends now. But let me tell you how I even met ASAP. I met ASAP online in 2011. Right? He was still like Quan Fire or something like that. And then I was like, this guy is dope. And for me, it was just maybe at that time I was seeing like he could actually be a better individual. Mm-hmm. So most of the people like Mbo Mahawks brand, we started it together. Is we met at the Pioneer House some time back and we started exchanging music. Then I think it was through Ama Flash, Kumbe, Ama Memory Card, I can't remember. And then Mbo was like, I know I'm interested in TV. Her first TV gig I organized for her. But then before we even went, they were like, you know, your name is too long, Mbonisima Onondo. Honestly speaking, Mbanoza, Mbonisima Onondo. What do they call you at home? And she was like, Mbo. And then she was like, and then she said, my father is called Mahawks. So she was like, called Mbo Mahawks. And so we started. So most of the people that you see me work with now is people that I've known for years.
Mm-hmm.
So you see them now and they are superstars and everyone thinks, good to know, we're just playing together because they are superstars. It's not that. We worked for them to be superstars.
Yeah.
So they're not just,
I think there's a picture that I saw of you with, what's his name?
Arakani.
Fuck.
Arakani is like my boy from Kutara. It's a seven.
Hey, and there was a time when I saw you niggas on Expresso.
Yeah, bro, I was
proud. I was like, like I know those niggas. Yeah. I think Jimmy was there.
Because
for me to tune in was Jimmy. Jimmy hit me up on some check. Unkubugele peru Expresso. I'm like Expresso.
The
thing you tumbugele Expresso, one is more kimu.
I'm like, what the heck, bro?
We woke up at 5
a.m. I'm like, what the heck, Jim? Like, I put chime in. I'm like, that's my nigga.
Because
me and Jim were in the same class.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. And Jimmy, he blew my mind. I never thought Jim was ever going to be a mod. Jimmy was a good cricket player.
Yeah.
And he was very skin.
Yeah.
Very, very skin.
Now he's bob removing.
Because even I was surprised. From high school days, if you see his high school pictures, you don't.
But
think
it was tall.
He was tall.
Like I remember I was in Form 1, everyone knew Jim.
Jim.
From that point, you look at him like, oh, fuck, this nigga is in Form 1 with us.
And he's tall.
Yeah.
And skinny.
And now you look at him, he's buff and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw you, nigga. Then I saw... But at that time, I wasn't used to Arakani like that.
Yeah.
But I really fuck with the fact that he has pushed to reach that level.
Yeah.
So when I saw you there, it's Chiru Kumo. You think Kumo is a fucking Bentley outside with that drip? What nigga was dripping? Smart, simple. Like I fuck with that shit, bro.
So you see, people like Arakani, someone that I've known since. I've known Arakani since 2012. We started talking on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Mbo Mahawks linked me up to Arakani. Mbo was in Zim and I was in Senegal at that time. Mbo says, good, there's this guy that you should meet. He's so dope. He does these crazy outfits. I'll link you up on Facebook. And then I started talking to Arakani. A year later of talking to him, before I even met him, then organized something for him to showcase. I think it was clothing in Daba at Holiday Inn.
Mm.
And then he showcased there. And then when I came back, we met in person for the first time. But it felt like I'd known him for a long time. So you see all these people that I work with, people that I've known from when they were starting off.
Yeah.
And everyone else now starts thinking, ah, no, but I'm a A-lister. I'm an A-lister. Then we'll be like, relax, man, musu peni.
I man, bro.
But you see, those are like people we've known way back.
How does it feel like to see like the people that you came up with grown like this? Like the brand is going insane.
Yeah.
You look at Mbo, we find Mbo. And Mbo actors, it rhythm city was
kind of.
Nigga, I saw it on TV. I was like, Masaru, tell Ross your man. One was like, nah. Bro, I was like, no, your man's, you know, where we are sure. You know already. So when I look at that shit, I'm like, you niggas pushed.
No, we didn't. For me, it goes back to my purpose because I'm a connector. Yeah. That's the thing. My purpose is I'm a connector. Mm-hmm. That's my calling. And that's why you find that even if we work together, you are still bound to become something hectic in this world. So for me, when I see everyone around me doing so well, it means that I'm also, because there's nothing as terrible as seeing yourself only being the one who's achieving so much. The question is, you should question yourself, am I doing something? I'm wrong. You must be in the wrong side because you can't be the only one popping and everyone else is not popping. Mm-hmm. So if you start seeing everyone else popping, it means that you guys are in the right direction. And also if your purpose is being a connector, it means that you are doing your job.
Yeah.
So if you are around friends that are not popping and you're the only one popping, then you're a problem. Because you're not influencing them to become better.
That's deep. Are you popping?
In what sense?
Like, just popping. Do we do we support each other like that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I feel like
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
We're doing fine.
You're doing fine. You have a podcast for crying out loud.
We have a fucking podcast. The kickiest podcast. Shit.
But you know what's interesting, like for me about Gilmore, I don't know how I got to know about Gilmore.
Okay.
In what sense?
Mm.
Like I even up to now, even if I try to think,
I don't know.
I just remember you in North End. There's a one day I was in North End. I was picking someone who had gone with someone's. with some girl, and then they couldn't leave that hotel or whatever in North, and then I met you there.
Oh, I remember. I banked church that day.
On a Sunday.
I was banking church.
As if you know.
No, why I was banking church? That shit was too long, dog. You know these African churches.
Are you Christian?
I'm Christian. I'm sorry to be one thing that no one knows. Yeah. I'm such a spiritual being. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's what has helped me, especially in the industry, because the creative industry is full of shit. Like, it's full of people that have their own energies. And even the same thing that when you guys are doing your podcast, I might want to come in and, you know, why I would not even come in and want to be fighting and that, why I don't fight people, because I understand that I carry a light which is completely different from everyone else. And you carry a light which is completely different from me.
This nigga does PR.
You know what I'm saying?
This nigga does PR.
No. Like, I'm very spiritual. Like, I am very, very spiritual. Even every project I work on, I pray about it. Like, everything that has come to me has been like a prayer. Because let me take you back to a story. Now I'm going, it's a different story.
It's okay.
So last year, I lost my grandfather. He raised me as my father, basically. Mm-hmm. It hits me all the time when I talk about him. Mm-hmm. But then one thing that he always reminded me when I was growing up was Uguti. So my mom, for her to even have my sister, were four of us. Mm-hmm. My mom was, she had a miscarriage once and twice. Mm-hmm. And then Uguti Siswame Zebekona, my grandfather and everyone else had to pray. So they fasted for like two weeks or something like that.
Shit.
And then my mom was a bambi sis. Because my mom is a firstborn. So imagine firstborn, I look at Chama miscarriage. Who's a bunch, you know how in the African culture they will send you back. And my father is a Kumalo and he's late. The Kumalo is a black simpiseleni Shona. You know what I mean? Because my mom is Shona. So they prayed for my sister to be there. So every one of us, after my sister, my grandfather always says, you guys are prayers. For you guys to be there, you are prayers. So if anything never works, if things are not working out for you, go back and pray, because you are your seed, you are a prayer. So what's going to connect you and what will make God stand up and say, listen, my son needs things to happen for him, is when you pray. Yeah. So I've understood that. So even I'm doing projects,
pray.
I pray. I would tell you the MTV Africa Music Awards gig, that was a prayer. Simple as that.
Yeah.
But it sounds hectic now, like, I've no sense, I'm not religious, but that's it for me. That's my story, and I'll stick to it.
But do you ever have, like, those, you know, like, as humans, there's those situations where you're like, it hits you, like, you're just down.
Yeah, all the time.
Like, even to pray, you're praying, but it's not the same, you know, the same feeling that you get, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, all the time, I think there's so many things. Also, when people around you also contribute to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they do.
So sometimes some people say some nasty-ass things or they do some nasty-ass things to you. It always brings you down because you're thinking, but these people should be helping me, you know, go to some stage. And I think for me, it's family. Family and your friends are very important. You need to choose them very carefully, because what your mom will say to you can actually mess up the rest of your day.
because your mom said something to you and it's someone that you love. So I always have those times. And I try to avoid going on social media. I go on social media to post things,
then I'm out.
Because I don't like reading all those many things because they also bring me down a lot. So I'm learning to manage that. So, yeah, I mean, like everyone else, you always have days when you're down, yeah?
Family and friends, choose wisely.
What do you mean?
Just...
Even with my family, I also have like shitty family members.
Yeah.
Like your aunts and cut them out.
Every family has those type of niggas.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's nice to have those type of people in the family. Why? Because you get to, as you appreciate some things.
Yeah, of course.
What did I mean? The way I was raised.
Yeah.
Masalam did a great job.
No, she did.
Ah, shit, my mother did this. But some families can get fucked up, eh?
No. For me, you know, the worst thing is, my mom's family, because I mean that's the biggest family in our family. My father, the only two of them, they're both late. My grandmother is late. My grandfather is late. So it's basically my brothers and I, and my sister. But my mother's family is like the hectic Christian family. Like it's like Gatandazarapa. But it's also the most hectic family ever. You know, like there's backstabbing, there's gossiping, there's all these things that happen in the same family. And for me, I always say to people that I meet or even my friends, what do you mean if I can cut my aunt out, I can cut you out anytime. I've done that with my aunt because my aunt was toxic. And so I'm not going to allow you to be toxic.
You're cutting your space.
Yeah, yeah, I'm protecting my space and my peace. And if you're toxic, I'll cut you out. If I can do it with my aunt, my mother's sister, or my mother's brother, or my father's sister or brother, anyone else can fuck off.
Then these niggas that are hating on the paper bag.
They're hating on the paper in the bag. Yeah. That's been collected across Africa.
You want some petty shit. But
petty, right? Yeah. But you know what? I always feel like everyone who's in your life, whether like they're good or bad, they're there to teach you something about you. Either about yourself or about life.
Yeah.
They are there to help you make choices.
Yeah.
So I don't really feel like there's anyone who's there who shouldn't be in your life.
Yeah, of course. No.
Obviously they are there for a certain period.
Yeah.
Then but sometimes it's just like, fuck this nigga.
Obviously I'm like the extreme. I'm the extreme because it's either I let people in or I don't.
Oh, that's it?
That's it, yeah.
It doesn't let people in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Edward has never let anyone in.
And it's so easy for me to cut people off. Yeah, that's cool. That's the worst part. I respect that.
And I like what you say because at the end of it all, you need to realize that everyone, it's almost like when I have an argument with people, I always say to my friends, Uguti, when you have an argument with someone, they have something that they're carrying that you need to learn. So I will fight with you today.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the end of it all, I need to go home and sit and say, okay, we fought with Tinwe and he told me Uguti Nyinja or whatever. What did he teach me?
Yeah.
So sometimes some lessons don't come like you're in class where the teacher says, oh, class, let's do this.
Yeah.
Some lessons come from those arguments, from those fights, from those people that are nasty. Yeah. They're teaching you a lot about yourself. Sometimes it's patience. Simple stuff is patience. I'm an impatient being, and then someone teaches you patience.
I'm shy.
By that.
And that's got some lesson.
No, but what he's saying is true. Because you meet them, they'll teach you something. Yeah. Trust me. Yeah, you should look at it like
true.
That.
Yeah, like I've never really seen haters as like a bad thing.
No,
because it's always like one of those things. Ot, at times you should step back and look at things and be like, okay, am I really like this? Maybe this person is actually right. Maybe I should change the way I approach people or what.
Yeah.
So, I always feel like you should always try to learn. And then obviously there's some times where you're like, this is bullshit.
But at times also you need to step out and say, if I was not me, also I would hate on me.
Yeah, true.
Because I'm killing it. sometimes it's not even hate, it's loath. There's two different things. There's hate and loath. Loath is when someone looks at Tino and says, Tino is like 22 or 21 or he's 19 and he's living his dream. I am 30. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm all about. And then when it comes across to you, it comes across to you as hate, but they don't hate you. Those are the people that actually follow everything that you do, but they'll never come to you and tell you, you know what? You are doing the thing.
Yeah.
So they wish they were you, but unfortunately, we all have different lights.
Yeah. You niggas even changed the whole direction of the conversation. But I like it.
It's just like, you know what, what this great philosopher once said,
come
you know.
On, come on, Lord, come on.
To spit some philosophical shit, you know.
He's probably lying.
No, you know, there's this saying that says, jealousy is just love and hate at the same time.
Mm.
You know who
shit,
that
even
was?
Even Drake said that shit.
I was talking that's about Drake.
Like I was talking about
Drake.
Ah, dog.
Drake has got like a lot of life lessons in, yeah, his songs. Like, especially the deep ones. Like the ones maybe before 20.
Yeah, it's love.
Before 2018, going back, yeah. So every time you see someone who doesn't like you, it's probably because there's, if you have something that they want.
Yes,
you
know? Yeah.
But they're just too proud to say, like, teach me how to do this.
Yeah.
So
I have so many haters, you know.
Yeah, they wish to.
Personally, for me, I have so many haters. Like, I can have someone who can greet me.
Yeah.
But deep down, they hate me.
But you know, it's also assumptions that people have of you.
Yeah.
They don't know nothing about you.
With me and Roy, what we find out is that after we start talking, someone can just say, ah, as gawk terang ang gusod. Umbuzi to why? Always dead. I'm like, no, bro, this is me. I'm like that.
But
I'm confident.
And it's not your fault that you're confident.
Yeah.
True.
Because you know what? There's some people that look at you. Just in Japan, want to kill more.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah.
I had a chef that we all know. I won't mention them. I'm friends with them now. They've known me for more than 3 years. But when I met them the first time, I was talking to one of their friends whom I'm close to. Mm-hmm. So it's like someone meets me when I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm going to treat you differently because you're my brother. Mm-hmm. I'll come in and say, hey, what's up, bro? Give you a hug, ask you how you're doing. But then for me, that's how I am. When I know you, I know you. If I don't know you, I don't know you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to treat you like you are Tino. So I'll be like, hey, what's up? Hey, hi. And then they said, you gave me a nasty eye. But I thought you hated me. And then 3 years later, I'm now talking to the homie.
Yeah.
So it's things like, I think people have assumptions on people. And then unfortunately, it's assumptions that make us constantly go in circles because we never see value in the next person. Because it's when I get out, you know, as a fuckboy.
It's an
assumption that I have about
people. I don't know why people think I'm a fuckboy, dog. I'm just.
Because you dress
I'm just
cool way.
I'm cool, jiggy nigga.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just trying to hate.
I've always thought, like, it's always like that. Like, whenever. I think it's because people have seen it as to be, like, something that's out of the normal.
Mm. Yeah.
If
someone
is either. You are just fly, you know, confident, and you're clean.
Yeah,
they're like, this nigga is a fuck.
Yeah, you guys jail, which is boy. Which is boy.
Yeah,
like,
I hate that.
Why?
And then when they sit down with you, like, the homie has great conversation.
Yeah. But they look at you. I don't know why. Like, yo,
shit.
How long is it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be very long. Can go for an hour, but now we can just go for a break. Yeah.
What's your favorite song at the moment, bro?
My favorite song of the moment is Summer Yomot. Black Diamond. Yeah, I like them. No, I like them. But I also, because I was introduced to them by Arakani, used to dress them.
Oh.
Yeah, so I never used to follow
when,
them.
When they'd blow, when
they were starting out, off with the Ambition or whatever they're called.
Ambitious. Yeah. What about Ambitious. Now? Can you get them on?
Yeah, I think it still does work for them.
No, that's nice.
Yeah, on a private thing, because obviously they're big now, so they can't just fully endorse
bro,
things.
I would love to dress AKA.
Yo, I don't know.
AKA, bro.
That will happen.
I would love to dress AKA. Hey, do you remember? Do you remember the Takura fuck up?
Oh shit!
What is this?
I will tell you.
Tell him.
Are you dropping people's things?
Fuck that nigga! Fucked me up. He got me fucked up. Yeah.
So you know, when was it? 2019, 2018.
I think it was 2018.
2018.
He dropped something
at his album.
Fucking album.
So he DMs him on the gram.
What? We're talking on the gram.
Yeah.
Reply.
Yeah, very talking.
What's up, dog? Yo, I'm in blah, bro. I'm like, what?
Want to give you some merch? What? Can we meet up? He's like, cool.
And at the time, I was a big fan. I used to listen to shit almost every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened? I think the first time he was like, it was a Saturday.
Well, it was Saturday night. We drove to.
No, first it was Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. He was like, let's meet up by PC.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, talk to my manager.
Hey. Yeah.
Ah, very. That's when you know that.
But the manager was cool.
No, I think back then we didn't know. Mm-hmm. What when someone says talk to my manager?
Do you know what this nigga does? I talked to the managers, like, I know, come to School of Mines. I'm like, I can't get into School of Mines because they want a school ID and I don't have a school ID.
Yeah.
So he's on some, don't worry, bro. You are my nigga. Let's link up in the morning, Sunday morning. I wake up and I didn't go to church. I really wanted to go to church. Mm. I skipped church. I went to PC. He said, wait by PC. I said, what, 9 o'clock? I got there like 8:30. I'm even updating it. But I'm on my way, bruh. Mm-hmm. I'm going to deliver the t-shirt. He's also excited. Do your thing, my G. Kill it. I get there, 9:30, 10:30. I call the guy. Like, don't worry, dog. We're leaving the hotel just now. We'll pass by there. I'm like, just tell me which hotel you're at so that I come and what? And drop the stuff. Like, yeah. I don't know. We'll come there, dog. I'm like, cool, I'm chilling. Stuck with. I'm even listening to his shit. Stuck with. I called Bez Shadow Cray.
Yeah, I'm
like, Bez, you can pull up with your t-shirts also. We give this thing. Bez, like, oh, sweet Bez pulls up with this dude. Chilling. 11:30.
Oh.
12:00. Call the number. I'm not. It's not. It's like I was blocked.
Wow.
I want to go now. Phone at the card. Like, shit. I tried to. Bez, like, how far? What is he saying, my G? No, Bez will be chilled like this.
Yeah,
how far, my G? What is he saying? I'm like, cool. I don't want the Bez. Don't want it's coming. Then I just jump on Instagram, dog. I'm just checking stories. I check Takura's stories, passing queer.
Wow.
I call this nigga the same time. I'm like, dog, this nigga is in Kweru now. So I'm like, fuck that nigga, bruh. Stars 29 is bigger than that shit. I'm like, shit.
But what's wrong with that's? You see why I'm saying it's important to be black and white.
Yeah.
Don't have like gray areas. If you don't want, you don't want.
I told him that. I was now pissed. I was now in my field. Like, I should have told me, bro. Anyway, it's cool. Didn't reply. He just opened.
Blue ticked.
Since that day, I was like, I fucked a good. But I fuck with music. But I fucked a
good. Yeah.
But anyway, let's just take
sometimes
a break.
Sometimes you should just, you know, sometimes you just like people for their art and stop trying to be personal with them because you realize you don't like their personalities.
Yeah.
True. You just like their art. You like their music. Mm. And let's keep it like that.
Fuck that nigga.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say fuck that nigga. He did what he had to do.
But you learned something from it.
I did learn something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was a teacher to your lesson.
And I also loved what he said.
Yeah.
It motivated. When he said, don't worry, bruh, Stars 29 is bigger than Taco.
Yeah.
Shit, bro. So maybe one day we'll be like, Nike. I'm like, so one day we'll be like, Nike. Or maybe this nigga is just lying to me. Yeah. I was like, cool. I really appreciated that. Yeah. And I went home. My mother was like, somebody will take I'm like, bro.
No.
But it's crazy. It's crazy.
Break.
As that was ginger guy,
I don't mind racism.
Yeah, we can
really
go back. Have you ever experienced racism?
Yeah,
that's
right. I might have. But we experienced racism, Edward. I can't pump. That one time when it was my birthday.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I really don't mind.
You're dropping brands like that.
No, but I really don't mind. Like, I don't really feel like it's racism. Because I feel like obviously if people are in their space, they have a certain institution and they want a certain standard. Crowd of people.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like they're entitled to that.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. It's almost so good to some people feel good. Okay, we'll talk about it. Okay. Yes. Let's not come to me.
Yeah.
Let me just support his point. His point to Woody, if people have their standards and they're okay to say this is our standard, and if you don't fit in, it's okay for you to go find your standards and fit in those standards. There's nothing wrong with that. But also, I think there's a thin line between standards and racism.
Yeah. Dope. I like that. Yeah. At that time, we were young.
No, but they were shitting on us.
Young
bro.
And we were loud. And,
yeah. We're still loud, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
as loud as Roy, but yeah.
Yeah, I raised the loudest. I wanted to ask something.
Yeah.
The fuck? Branding.
Yeah.
Branding. Yeah. Branding.
branding. I feel like as creatives, as artists, we don't really know what branding is.
That's like the biggest challenge.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You can have the number one song on radio, yeah, and then I can still bump into you slightly. Yeah,
exactly,
Zubko.
Exactly.
And you can have the number one song, or you can be... And you can, as just like you right now, everyone is talking about GQ Best Dressed.
Yeah.
Right? How Chombro Simbone Lapa GQ Best Dressed. And next thing you know, Dumana Lawe Shisha, Velavelu's Chinese Zambezi. So, guess what? So, I always feel like branding, especially for us in Bulawayo.
In Zim.
A branding, we don't really know what it means.
I think it's just basically having, I think when you're starting off your career as an artist, you need to also like put certain things like, okay, I want to be, for example, like I said earlier, when an artist comes and says, Guti, I want to have the babes, for me, I won't work with you. But if you're saying you want to be an authority, that's already like your vision, that's your end goal. So as an authority means that now we need to take the steps towards making you an authority. You being easily accessible is not going to make you an authority. So it's just that artists need to know why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay.
So why are you doing what you're doing? Do you want to do it because you want to be famous? Okay, so if you want to be famous, you're going to go to every club and everyone is going to know you. But you want to do it because you want to leave a legacy where people know what Stars 29 is the brand. So what are the steps that you're taking to making sure that you become that brand? Where are the places that you go to make sure that your association also brings value to what you're doing? Who are the people that you hang around with? Because the people you hang around with will help you fulfill your dream. So it's those simple things. It sounds complicated, but it's those simple things.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go? What events do you attend? Who are the people you associate with? What steps are you taking to becoming what you're saying you want to become?
Mm.
A simple example of Bonang Matheba. In 2016, we went to the MTV Africa Music Awards. Mm. And then Bonang was there. She was hosting with Nomza Mombasa and Yemi Alade. And then after that, Bonang... There was an after party, and then Marco Ndlovu was there. You know Marco Ndlovu.
Yeah.
And then Marco Ndlovu was like, I'm born Gilmore, these are my friends. And Marco is like the it girl everyone knows in South Africa. David Kao was driving around, DJ Fresh, and wada wada. So we go to the after party at Taboo, the first floor. The ground floor was for Wonke Wonke. First floor was the superstars, like the Fresh, the Euphonic, the Meps Maponya, the Nomzamo. Stavo was even there. And then that's how Stavo then started talking, because I was like, who the hell is, I know this boy from Zim, but why is he in this space?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of Bonang's people was like, people were asking, where's Bonang? And then one of the people was like, he was drunk now. So he started spilling all the beans. And it's like, we're deliberate with Bonang's brand because we want Bonang's brand to be the go-to brand in Africa. So Bonang doesn't go to certain spaces as much as you want to see at the after party. And she wants to go to the after party because they're at Tandefar. But we make sure that we buy bottles, she goes to the hotel, and then she chills with her friends. What we're creating around a brand is the scarcity and the expensiveness. Possibly when you... Actually, you saw on stage, Goma Mamas.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she's not at the after party, but everyone else is there, but she's not there. The assumption is Bonang has gone to Cape Town. Where is she? Maybe she's gone to Cape Town to hold another thing. But then we've created some expensiveness around her brand, some scarcity. That is branding. Mm-hmm. So it's the steps that they're taking to making sure that she becomes the go-to person in Africa. And she is now.
Look at her.
She is now.
Or the Louis V.
Yeah, so those are the steps. So it's the mini steps. People you talk to,
but
the events
you go to. You've been in spaces where they're like, oh, these celebrities.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
I mean,
have you ever had a situation where maybe you see a celebrity that you really wanted to talk to at one point, then you go crazy, then you lose your shit?
I once saw Nomza Mombasa. I think she's gorgeous. She's even gorgeous in person. She's like gorgeous. Like she's like amazing. One thing I learned, because also I'm in the space where you deal with these popular, I mean, these celebrities like, you know, Edward, ASAPs and Boma Hoxes. I've learned that people take you seriously when you don't go to them asking for a picture, but you go to them wanting to have conversation. They'll remember you more than anyone who has come and asked for a picture. I saw Nomzamo, I was like, damn, I want a picture with Nomzamo. I went to Nomzamo, I was like, hi, my name is whoever, I'm from Zim. It's like, oh my gosh, from Zimbabwe, I'm from Zim. I'm like, I admire you so much, I think you're the dopest. I like this and I like this about you. And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Oh my word, let's get a picture. You see, do you see how we flipped it?
Yeah.
I didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
It came from a let's get a picture. So, of course, I've lost myself. But I think when you want to create relationships that last longer, go to someone and show some respect for them and also say something that they will remember. And then go. Don't even ask for a picture. Go.
Which celebrity did you meet and like, it's just one of those?
just one of those most Sim celebrities.
You can drop names.
One of those. Wow, like, I mean, come on, Zim are my people.
Have you met Stana?
I've met Stana many times. You know, I can't throw shade at these celebrities, right? Because of the space I work in. I've met Stana many times. I've met, when Gemma was launching an EP, there was all these celebrities from Harare that were there. And then what I don't like about the Zim celebrity culture is how people are not able to just openly say, listen, Tino, I'm a fan of your work. I love your work. I think for me, being exposed to South Africa and Nigeria and other spaces, I've learned that there's nothing wrong with you saying that. Instead, people, you create more conversation. Like, you know what's her name? Toki Makinwe. You know Toki? Toki, she's like the Bonang of Nigeria.
Oh.
Toki.
I think I probably know her face.
Yeah. She's like the popping thing. We flew with Toki from Joburg going to Nigeria when we were doing some fashion thing in 2019. And then when they put us in the front row because we're the superstars and we're invited guests, Toki was sitting like literally 2 seats away. And then I said to her, you know what, I follow you, I'm from Zim. She's like, oh my gosh, she's from Zim, what? And I was like, we flew in together. She's like, really? And then I was like, yeah. And then she's like, okay, cool. And I said to her, you are snatched for days. Because she's like, And you know what, we started having conversations. She enjoyed the fact that I was from a different country and I know of her. What we could learn in the celebrity culture in Zimbabwe is just being... there's nothing wrong with you. Just go and say, bruh, I fucks with your things. Yeah. Most of these people, they don't follow you on social media. But guess what? When you go on your Insta stories, they are camping there.
They view.
Back home. And then I met them at Gemma's. And you know, most of them were all acting weird. To the extent of Avantawa Njongo Hilsey. Hilsey, we organized for him to perform for the MTV Sugar thing. But he was acting new at that event. I went to him and it was with TK Kasande. I was like, TK, what's up? And TK's like, hey, Gilma, how are you doing? And I was like, Hilsey, how are you doing? And then TK's like, hey, you know Gilma. And then it's like, Yeah. I'm like, ah, my nigga, we gave you money. And you're acting new. We gave you money. You know what I mean? Yeah, so,
but his music is good.
His music is good.
Yeah.
His music is good.
Hilsey.
It's good.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's all right. The only challenge is we fail to tell our stories through our music. Most of us, through our fashion, through our music, we fail to tell our stories. So we're trying to tell American stories and no one buys them.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to say, what's this guy's? It's dope.
I love that nigga.
Yeah, I can relate, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to relate. When someone's talking about, not that SF is my homie, but I will give an example of SF. Mm-hmm. He talks about City Hall. I can relate because I used to catch him through a City Hall going home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we feel.
About Lambos and shit.
From where?
Turn up Amigos.
When we all are ex-Jap here. What are you talking about? Talk about your Honda Fit, like too young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that nigga, but I think he's lazy. Too young.
No, I don't think.
I'm exp- you know.
Do you know?
That's one artist that I really
can blow.
I really had faith in him. I'm like, this nigga will blow up and will fuck shit up.
I don't feel like he's lazy, cause I remember this one day last year.
I just
thought of him and I messaged him and I was like, bro, you're dope.
Mm.
You're just dope.
Will you do that shit?
I do.
Even me, I do that shit.
Like, I have to acknowledge people. So, like, I pray.
We could do with more of that in Zim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We could do with more of that, of acknowledging people and what they're doing. It's like, I was telling you the Gemma story. That one is fun. So I'm going, and then there was someone I knew from socials, and I was like, let me go introduce myself. And then this time it's been 2 hours, and they're just eyeing everybody. And I was like, hey, listen, hi, my name is Kiyomoti. Like, dude, I know you. I'm like, but all this time you were here. And you're cheating. He's like, I like your work. I'm like, no, I like your work too. Mm. And I'm like, and then it's like, and then he goes on to say, everybody here knows each other, but no one is going to talk to each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was like, that's a terrible thing because it also goes back to we as Africans will never go further until we start looking at each other's value addition. Mm-hmm. I need to look at you, Tina, and say, you've given me a platform to talk.
Mm-hmm.
No one else could have given me that platform.
Mm-hmm.
So you are adding value to me by giving me a platform.
Yep.
5 more people know about what I'm all about because of your platform. So it's about looking at you and say what value addition and wanting to know more about people, not to just say, he thinks he's a fuckboy or Okimoya's Kacha is an
etonist.
It's live, my nigga.
When you just see him walking there with his outfits, it's like, ah, that nigga. That nigga. Then when you start talking to him, it's like, ah, this nigga is actually has some crazy knowledge. Eh?
But it's okay. I mean, that's why I'm appreciative of your guys' platform because not everyone else would invite you to say, let's have a conversation. Everyone will say, ah, laws are strange, the light late. And what they don't know is like, my light is damn bright and yours is damn bright too. It's only that we're lighting different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I mean?
Nigga, you read books.
I'm a book. You see, so it's just that possibly what God would have worked on me, that my light should light up the dining room and the sitting room. Mm-hmm. But then it doesn't mean that God is also not working on you. He's just working on you and your light is lighting your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is you're a light and we're all lights, but we're lighting different spaces.
I like that.
That's it.
You like that shit?
That's power.
Crazy,
yeah.
I don't know if you can move.
Hallelujah,
my nigga. Then yeah, also there's one thing. People were saying we are going to an Illuminati function.
Yes, for
the Pichani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't invite you there.
Yeah.
My team and I didn't invite you.
You didn't invite me.
That's cool.
No, but I'm cool about that.
You didn't throw tantrums on Twitter. We trended on number one on a Sunday.
Yeah, people
number one hashtag Pichani.
No. I guess I'm a different type of person.
Okay.
I really like what I said, but it's a nice vibe. No, like what I said,
I respect
spaces. Like if you don't invite me, it doesn't mean that you hate me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's
but now you're forced in my space because of this podcast. You know what I'm saying? So you're stuck in there.
but the Pichani was a move, bro.
It was cool. It was cool. I mean,
but where did you get the whole inspiration to do the thing? I know you're trying to make create a platform where we meet as creatives.
Yeah.
We get to know each other. We do business together.
By the way. So I've always been working in fashion. I think that's another thing because people are like, they try to define what I do. I'm just a creative who has a very strong voice and whatever channel and platform that allows my voice to be heard, I'm going to use that. If it's going to be me writing for GQ, you will hear my voice through GQ. If it's going to be you seeing me dressed up, you will hear my voice through my fashion. It's going to be me doing a TV show, you will hear me. So I'm a creative. Ultimately, I'm a creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I have so many things. I write. I paint, by the way. I do so many things,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that I allow everything to manifest at a certain time. Mm. And when I do stuff, I don't want to do stuff on a small scale. Like I'm like Nigel. I'm not going to do small things.
But where do you get the energy to do everything? Where do you get this motivation to keep going, to keep creating?
The drive.
I don't know. I think everything is a season for me because there's a season where I want to just do fashion.
Oh.
And then I push fashion. And when I do fashion, trust me, I'm not going to do fashion on small scale, like I'm going to do like small local festivals. Nothing wrong with local festivals, but I'll do fashion in Lagos. I'll do on that scale. So I've always told myself that everything that I involve myself in,
mm-hmm.
I need to slash it until you all just, you're like, wow, what chicken feet this guy's frying us. That's me. So it's like when I write, I'm not going to be, I used to write for the Standard,
mm-hmm.
and I think I want to go back there because it's something that I learned.
How was the pay?
The pay was a pay. So, but you see now with my writing, I was like, because I like writing, I want a bigger platform. And I've always wanted to write for GQ. I've been reading GQ all my life. And then when I got the opportunity to write for GQ, that was like, okay, that's it. I've reached the highest of them all. So if I do fashion, I want to reach the highest. And then when I've reached the highest, I want to go and explore my other things that I like doing. Going back to the Pichani.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of fashion stuff, I think, up to 2016. And then I stopped in 2016 because I realized that I would put so much effort and bring brands on board and be doing fashion shows for other platforms, and it wasn't benefiting me directly.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be selfish like Americans, where it's about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I, what I like about the American culture is they make you feel like you're the boss, I'm the it. Mm-hmm. That's why they're succeeding. That's why there's an American dream,
mm-hmm.
not a Zimbabwean dream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got tired of doing stuff for other platforms. Nothing wrong with that. I was also allowing my light to shine in other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, the question was like, where's the sustainability? Where's the growth? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Besides, you know, besides being all over newspapers and there's articles about the fashion show and 10,000 people attended, so what? So then I stopped doing fashion in 2016 and then only came back 2 years later. And then I wanted to create a platform where there's exchange of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There's the showcase of it, and then there's the business of it. So you find out that with the last year, Pichani, people were going mad looking for outfits. Designers, mm-hmm. I would go into designer spaces wanting to order something. They say, I can't, I want to buy pichana by five. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. So meaning the business part of it is there.
Mm-hmm.
The showcase, people were dressed mm-hmm. so much and they were looking so amazing.
People were smart, bro.
That's showcasing already.
Like, people were very smart. Like you know, there's a place where you go to and you can relate one time from the outfits. I'm like, yeah, I'm at home, bro.
Like people were killing it.
Everyone was killing it, bro. Everyone was just smart. Everyone was confident. Everyone was free.
Yeah. You know, you see, that's the thing. So you want to create the business part. So designers are busy throughout the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They're making outfits for these people. I'm creating sustainability through the Pichani.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be more this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, showcase. People are looking fire. Mm-hmm. They're showcasing themselves. They're expressing themselves mm-hmm. through fashion. And then the last thing is the exchange of knowledge. You find that there's people that you met at the Pichani that you would never meet anywhere else. Mm-hmm.
I never met the girl where, what was it, Leverage.
Leverage, exactly.
That was my first time.
But guess what? You start exchanging knowledge mm-hmm. and you start conversing. And mm-hmm. then after that, there's collaborations. Back to December, ASAF's song with Msiske and Mawiza,
mm-hmm.
that was a conversation that they did at the Pichani, but it became a song.
Shit, that's dope.
So there was conversation that was created, exchange of knowledge, mm-hmm. and then now it's an end product. And there's more people that are doing that even now. I'm working with some people now because I met them there.
How do you decide to say, I'm inviting this guy, I'm inviting this guy, that nigga can fuck off?
It's not even about
I'm inviting people that are sort of like in your circle, that you sort of like talk to,
mm-hmm.
where you're just inviting people based off the work that they're doing.
I think it's based more off the work because there's a lot of people that I know that inspire me. Like I said, you guys inspire me so much, but I would never say it all the time. But I look at you and I'm like, these guys push. Mm-hmm. Someone, if there's a person who said something nasty the other time about you, and it's like, what you don't know is like those boys work. You are sitting there scratching your balls and having dandruff. But those boys are working. Yeah, those boys work. Those boys work. Even if I go in and say, bruh, my phone has died, I'll be guaranteed by the end of the day I have a phone. So I always say, for me, it's always the drive.
Mm.
I think everyone that is sort of like around me, we might not be very close friends, but everyone around me, it's the drive that attracts me to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the drive. It's your ambition. It's also just, where do you see yourself going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's how the Pichani is sort of like, especially the last year one was based on, you know, what people are pushing
mm-hmm.
and what they're all about.
Mm-hmm.
There's people like the Puzzle Moments. You see their picture, but you don't know them, but it was at the Pichani. There's people like the National Gallery, you know of the gallery, but the regional director was at the Pichani.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you bring people that are almost the same mind kind of people, they become free around each other and mm-hmm. they enjoy each other's spaces. Like people were having fun mm-hmm. last year because they would be like, oh, I know Tino. Mm. Oh, that's Stars 29. Mm. I know Edward. Oh, that's the superstar. Mm. I know SF, that's the superstar. I know Mimi. Mm. That was a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's people that are pushing things. And for me, I think the Pichani is also a platform to celebrate young, black, African people that are popping and are doing things in their own spaces.
I love that shit, bro.
Yeah. So if you're not popping, you won't see me near you. It's true. I mean, if you're not popping in terms of your thinking,
mm-hmm.
your thinking needs to be popping.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be thinking on a different level. You will never see me near you. Because I'm not about to surround myself with mediocre stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's just that.
Shit. And what happened to the Unheard series, bro?
The Unheard series, COVID happened to it.
Oh. Bro, Unheard series was mad.
Because COVID happened, because last year COVID. Because the last one was in January last year, right? And then I traveled and then I came back.
Do you document those things?
I document. I have like footage for days.
We need that footage.
I even have like video for the Pichani last year.
Shit.
I even have like a video of all the performances from the Pichani. But it's everything for me is very calculative.
Mm-hmm.
I release them accordingly. I know like someone is going to be popping tomorrow on a bigger platform.
Mm-hmm.
We're releasing a video about them tomorrow because they'll be trending. Mm.
I like that.
That's how it is.
And Head Series was mad, bro.
Yeah.
So much knowledge. I remember the one that I enjoyed the most was Marco.
She's fire.
Just fire, bro. And she's so free. Like you can, even from looking, she looks cute. Hey, she's fine. She's fine, but she's married and shit. So when she, I think she came with the husband. That was with the husband. It was chilled, the husband. I don't know who we were. Fuck
no,
bro.
You were talking about the Pichani.
Like,
for me,
the Unheard series, I was talking about Marco.
Series, yeah,
yeah, Marco. Yeah. Nah, she's amazing. She's beautiful. Mm.
And I like, do you see the girl that she came with, Rebecca, one of her friends?
Yeah.
She's an executive at Universal Music.
Put me on, dog.
But let me tell you now, wait, let me, she's not white, she's Mexican.
And she had some knowledge for this, for artists.
She's an exec. My sister-in-law works at Universal in Joburg. So when my sister-in-law says to me, there's a lady called Rebecca, our boss from the States. She's talking about you in our meeting. I'm like, what? And my sister-in-law is like, I even said, oh, that's my brother-in-law. And then Rebecca asked me, I'm like, yeah, she's my sister-in-law. Where I think we lose it is, again, we don't see value in each other. There's this thing which says we size each other when we get into rooms. There were so many artists that were invited to come to the Mark on Love thing. Mm. They didn't come because it's Kiumo's thing. Yeah. Which is all right. And they didn't come, but there was so much knowledge. But an artist could have linked Joy, Joy, the one with the Kid X song. She's working with Rebecca. They met at Unheard Series.
Shit.
So you see, when I say my calling is I'm a connector, it's exactly that. That's my calling, and nobody can take that away from me because
flex.
I'm a connector.
Yeah. Flex, bro. Flex. I mean,
no, it's true. It's true.
Mm.
BT, whatever. I'm a connector. That's just how it works. But my connection is not the. You know, can I say Edward? There is Tino. No, we all just come together, and then it happens.
In that space.
So yeah. in the space, there's that energy of connection. There's a connection, which is why you didn't feel out of place when you came to the Pichani.
Yeah, I didn't.
Because whatever that you carry and whatever you represent, it manifests in the things you do.
I was rocking shorts.
Yeah, he was wearing shorts. I think it's these shorts.
it was the
black one.
Nah, there's this red one, even a blue la.
And he was wearing his
I had jeans that I had made for that particular event.
But he didn't wear
them. When I wore those jeans, I was like, fuck this thing, dog.
He disrespected the platform, which is something that I didn't.
Shorts. I don't think shorts were. I was the only nigga in shorts and jeans.
Tinashe Charleston disrespected the platform. Yeah. Big time.
It's creativity.
You know, it's your way of expression, which was disrespectful.
and I was so happy that Charleston came wearing this one bucket hat that I made for him. I never made for anyone else with the logo, and was wearing that shit.
Yeah.
And he came to me like, hey, Jing, what are you doing? Like, for real, nigga? Like, yeah.
There was like a lot of stars, people that ASAP was wearing you guys. Yeah. You were wearing stars.
There was a guy also was taking pictures wearing stars.
Stars. Roy was wearing stars. Mm. I liked... Tabada, I liked her outfit, the sneakers and the dress.
Yeah.
What she actually doesn't, maybe she already knows it, that's like the current trend for girls now. Girls everywhere else, when you go to fashion shows, even in Lagos, no one is wearing heels.
Yeah.
They're wearing sneakers and nice dresses.
Was
so I thought she was like fire. I went to her, I was like, you're looking
even
so
Sage. Cool. Oh! Sage! Put up with the rose. Yeah, the rose in the afternoon.
Sage is like GQ Best Dressed Man 21.
He's getting there.
He's definitely getting that one. He really like needs to get in there. The only thing that I'm saying, what people need to realize is also with different platforms is like, when a brand like GQ or a brand like MTV, when they look at you and they decide they're going to work with you or put you on certain platforms, they also look at the value that you're bringing to them.
Yeah.
So most of us as creatives, we need to look at what value do we add to a brand.
Yeah.
You go to Econet and you, although Econet is fucked up, you go to Econet and say, I'm this. No, it's about the value that you're bringing. Mm-hmm. Most artists go and want to work with Econet. Econet won't work with you if they know this one is always swearing in his music. Econet is about inspiring the world.
Mm-hmm.
So look at that. To say, okay, what value am I bringing to Econet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do I work with kids? Do I inspire people with whatever I say? Yeah. Possibly Econet will work with me. If Pizza Hut is about whatever, go to them. If different brands go for different things.
Hey.
So as creatives, it's not all about your talent. It's about the value that you bring to them.
Yeah.
That's how it is. And how you are placed, it goes to branding. How are you placed? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. MTV Sugar will be like, oh, we want to work with Tino because Tino is a platform that gives a voice to people, and Tino and Edward have like 10,000 listenership.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna work with them because they'll give us a new audience.
Yeah,
they've already seen value. So sometimes it looks like it's you who's benefiting so much from them, but it's actually them benefiting from you.
Crazy.
But you need to know it, and when you know it, you're very calm about it because you know, like, okay, this is it.
I think you should do a young workshop on branding, bro.
Yeah, okay.
I know many artists, many designers.
But will they come? Because the other thing.
No. That's not your fault. But the fact that you're saying, I have the knowledge and I want to share.
Yeah.
Whoever comes came through. These niggas that didn't come, it's their fault. Yes. But I really feel like there's so many people out there that need the knowledge that you have.
Yeah. Because
the money is in branding.
Yeah.
No matter like how amazing you are, people don't see. Like most, I think the ordinary person at first glance, they don't see your art.
Mm.
They see you.
You.
Like personally, yeah. I tell you, like
my early, mid, whatever, teenage years, the one person, like, artist that influenced me a lot is A$AP Rocky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even, like, I didn't even know a lot of his songs.
But look at his style.
Just his style.
Yeah.
Just his image.
Yeah.
That whole vibe. Whatever he says in his interviews and what. Yeah. That's like his whole vibe. His whole brand. That's what inspired me a lot.
That's why I'm saying Sej is like the next biggest thing ever in this country. Because
and he knows
when you see him,
he knows
he's like, damn.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a brand. Like I can see myself making Sej the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I could work on his brand, like no doubt.
Yeah.
Because he already has it.
Yeah,
he just needs the platform.
Natural, it's just in him.
It's in him, but all he needs is the platform. Because I think the problem with artists think, oh, I'm so talented, I have the voice, that's it. No, that's not it. There's always someone fighting for you. The same way you are in a radio station, I don't know if I can say the name, that's free advertisement, but we've been doing free advertisement for everyone. You work for the radio station. Possibly when you are there, there's a lot of people that you're fighting for, but they don't know that you're fighting for them. And it's okay that they don't know that you're fighting for them.
Mm-hmm.
So Sej is there. He looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs people to fight for him. That's where people like yourself, myself, like yourself, come in and then put him on.
Yeah, we do.
Basically, that's just that. And that's the thing. I just think, oh, because I'm so talented. Oh, I have a great voice. It's not about that shit. It's about who else is around you that is helping you fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes it's also about, guys, it's not about just your voice, my nigga. It's about your story also, because it's what people buy into. People don't even buy, you know, people don't buy clothes. People don't buy music.
Yeah.
People buy a story. That's branding.
Yeah, that's what
branding is about story. There's what we call brand story.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're selling that people are buying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People buy Cardi B's things because Cardi B has been selling the story of Wooty. I'm a stripper. I'm from the Bronx or whatever. And I can whatever. She keeps that story throughout, through her music, through her fashion, through her whatever. She keeps that story. And you know what? Why people buy stuff from Cardi? They're not buying her music. They're not buying the fact that she has a Reebok, whatever collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying the story behind it. Yeah. Branding is about a story. What story are you selling?
Mm.
Why would I buy music from A$AP and not buy music from Wally 10? Because I will buy music from A$AP because I can relate to his music. He talks about City Hall. I'm like, oh my gosh, damn, I used to catch ETS by City Hall.
I'm talking about H&S.
H&S. I recognize the story and I'm buying the story.
Mm.
I'm not buying him. Yeah. I'm buying the story. That's branding. That's what artists need to realize.
We need a whole fucking lecture, dog.
Because you can be like, yeah, I'm Tammy, I'm going home. We don't care about your high heels.
You should do something, bro.
Please.
I don't know. Think about it.
Now we will.
Just to even if people don't, just a young workshop, say Gilmore branding. Simple. Whoever wants to say, fuck Gilmore, it's fine.
Yeah. A lot of people struggle.
But imagine if you see someone, you know, someone like maybe getting a fucking deal with Kanye or with Nike. From the knowledge that you share with them. Yeah. You know, it's also a win for you.
It's a win. It's a win for me.
Because they're like, I've done my job.
Because
you don't know. It's like, all of us, I feel like there are times when we think we know our purpose.
Yeah.
But we don't really know our purpose.
Yeah.
Because day in, day out, God is using you to open someone's eyes.
Yeah.
Or to push someone further.
Yeah.
To put someone in a certain position.
Come on,
that's
Pastor.
You.
Amen.
I'm a connector. That's my purpose. That's my calling.
That's you.
But it took me time to get to that.
Yeah, it does.
Again, it took me time to get that. And then to get there. So when I recognized that, when I eventually had like the revelation to say, oh, I'm a connector. I'm a builder. I started living in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in that and I know it. And even if when, you know how you always have other people wanting to, why is it Gilmore?
Mm.
Why is it him?
Mm.
And I'm just like, because I know my purpose. If you know your purpose, you should be popping in your space.
Mm-hmm.
But because we look at Tatazela, you're looking into all, you are peeping in my room instead of fixing your room. You constantly peep in my room and I will keep fixing my room.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And possibly in my room, everything in my room is blinding you. So you're going to constantly be blinded and you're not seeing your path because you're blinded by my room.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's that, and for me, I
what weed are you smoking, bro?
I don't smoke weed.
Nigga is spitting some weird shit.
Nigga, it's just life. It's also understanding, and what I'm saying, spirituality is important. Especially in the creative space,
mm-hmm.
you need to. I know everyone has their own beliefs, which is okay. And for me, I respect that. I've met people that are sangomas and we connect on a high level. What we need to understand is spirituality. There's a spiritual realm. We all meet there eventually, whether it's God, Jesus Christ, sangoma, ancestors, whatever. Even to the extent you connect, every time I go into spaces, I connect with either pastors or izangoma. I'm telling you, I was in the UK in February, right? And then there's
and you've traveled the world, huh?
Manika. Remember what I was saying? I wanted to be a pilot, but then God switches things and he's like, you know what? You will not be the one chauffeuring people, Moyeni. You'll be the one that will be chauffeured.
Shit.
And then it's God has an interesting way of turning things that we say or we say about ourselves, which is why we need to be it's important for us to be aware of things we say, because what we say bounces back to us.
Is that like the law of attraction?
Exactly. It's almost like the law of giving. Give and it shall be given to you. But those people give. And guess what? Because they constantly give, it's the law of giving. When you give, it comes back to you. That's why because they have mastered giving. So it's the same thing. Whatever you speak out, especially when it's coming straight from you, it bounces back to you. Because when you are a kingdom, so you are a kingdom as an individual. Edward is a kingdom. Whatever that comes out of your mouth, you are either building your kingdom, you are destroying it. But you need to understand that you are a kingdom. That's why I'm very careful also with people I have in my WhatsApp. You will not be in my WhatsApp because it's part of my kingdom. I will not have you if you're just some stupid ass person in my phone. I'll have you. We will have you on the paperback contacts, but not in my personal whatever, because it's my kingdom. I need to take care of my kingdom. I need to. There's nothing wrong with even me saying I'm going to the spa to get a massage. It's my damn kingdom. It needs to be looked after. There's nothing wrong with me cutting out people because my kingdom needs to have people that bring productivity to it.
I like that.
It's my body.
I like that.
I'm the king of it.
Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like you pitched an idea and you didn't get anything from it? Like you pitch an idea, then someone takes that idea, then they run with it.
Yes, I've had that. There's a fashion thing that I used to run for some festival last year, and then they took that and then they went with it after stopping doing it for like 3 years when I buy it, and then they ran with it.
How did you feel?
At some point I go into a space where I'm angry towards such things. But because I have like certain people around me that are also wisdom, like Mbo is like very close to me. Mbo is like spirit, like you're not nothing. That girl is like spirit. She always reminds me sometimes, you know what? You need to understand that you are a pioneer. You start things and you allow it to grow.
Like
so I've learned that I'm a pioneer. I know that I'm a pioneer. She's like so Edward. I start. Edward
would say, "Yo, don't worry, check. We are bigger than this." Especially that Takura line. I'll never forget that shit. Yeah. I was like, "Bro, we are bigger than this nigga."
Exactly.
So whenever even someone lets me down, I'm just like, "Ah, fuck, we're bigger than this shit."
That's the thing, and it's okay for you to know it, because if you rub it in their faces,
yeah.
But it's okay for you to know it, and in the background, the two of you are like, "Ah, my nigga, I'm the shit."
Yeah.
And I do that with my people. My friends, we tell each other we're the shit. And we tell each other every single day. Before we even go anywhere, we send each other pictures. I'm like, look what I'm wearing. I am that shit. And then by the time I get there already, my self-esteem is on another level. Because people that are close to me, that contribute to my kingdom, have told me that I'm the shit. So no one else can say otherwise. Because you would have told him he's the
nigga
shit.
Smokes weed, bro.
Yeah, right?
Nigga smokes crazy weed. Or he's on drugs. Nigga is some crazy knowledge, bro. I think
we'll have to do what I told you, though.
Yeah. Part two. This is like an hour right now.
It's an hour now. But there's a few things that you can chop out. But it's
cool. I want it like this. Obviously, chop out when Roy is making noise.
Yeah.
But I want it like this. And I feel like for part two, we definitely need to do it as visuals.
That's cool.
Definitely.
Do you still have things that you want to ask?
No, I have a lot of things that I want to ask. That's why I'm saying that shit, we can save it also for... You know, so that for that one, I know we can just take no peace, and when he's talking shit, be posting that.
When I'm talking shit.
So yeah, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Oh, it's done already.
Yeah.
Sounds good. It sounds good, and I actually enjoyed it, to be honest.
For real,
I've done so many stuff, and I don't do a lot of interviews anymore because I feel like, first of all, I don't do interviews because sometimes my cup is running dry. Like, I'm usually in space. Like, the last year for me was like a running dry period because I just lost someone that was very symbolic to me. Like, someone was like, you know, like my father, my grandfather is my father. Mm-hmm. He visited me actually in a dream that day, which is weird. But it was very peaceful.
But I get those dreams about my father.
I never dream about my late father. I've never dreamt of him. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, this is the first time I dreamt of him. And in the dream, because I on Thursday I buried an aunt of mine who was literally my mom also. Mm-hmm. I understood why my grandfather visited me in my dream, because in the dream my grandfather was, we were going to buy stuff at the market. We were buying things in bulk. And then he says, because you need that. And then I was driving out, and then I woke up and then I told my mom, I had this dream, and then I told her and I sent a message. And then that day when I was driving, I actually just decided to drive around. Mm-hmm. Went to Komaru, just drove, went to T Wonders, and I rooted by his gate. I was like, hey, what's up? Because his wife is particular also about just interactions because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then on my way home, my mom calls and is like, auntie, kara, use pop. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And then everything connects. I'm like, that's why my grandfather said we needed this.
Mm-hmm.
So last year for me was like that time where, when he passed on in June, July, I think I only recovered like in August. Towards Pichani, I was just getting to it. But a lot of people were reaching out because there was other things that were happening in my life at that time, and I was not doing them. Because first of all, I always don't want to have conversations with people, especially when it's platforms like yourselves, where I have nothing to give. Like, I feel like my cup is empty. Mm-hmm. I always want to give something when my cup is full. Mm-hmm. And so much has happened for me, the passing of my grandfather, the passing of my aunt, so many other good news that right now my cup is so full that it's spilling off. It needs to spill into someone else's life. That's why I agreed to doing your interview. Otherwise, I would have not agreed. I turned down Zeevan the other time, by the way. and because I also don't like fluff things, you know, like, interesting as well as I'm going to do to since interview for what very commercialized.
So, how far will I get him gag?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the gag. So, who's your favorite fashion designer? Yeah.
Who's Kilmo?
What's his rap? Like, so I don't like doing those things most of the times. I don't do them.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't do them. It has to be specific and it has to connect again for me. It's energy, it's spirit, bruh.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, bro?
Oh, you good, man?
I know this homie from your Instagrams.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one who just got married to Trish.
Yeah. Oh, you know Trish?
She stays in Pokemon, right?
I think she grew up there.
Yeah. When I was growing up in my grandmother's, Saskatoon was going to have a set on.
How far, check? Don't you have something to say for the podcast today? Come on.
You want to say some crazy shit for the podcast? That is kids really love. Say something about
sleep. You guys all look the same.
We all dress the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We thought Andrew will leave something for the podcast, boys, but.
No, I just want to hear you first so that I can.
We're almost done, bro. We're done. It's like the last section.
What were you talking about, right?
We're just everything, life.
Everything,
life.
Life. How can I put this? Okay, all right, with life, at our age, maybe, okay, today, okay. This year, I'm 29.
They're grown, bro.
Not really. For some people, I'm still young. And maybe you find out when this year, you're 25 or 26. And we're at a point whereby we're still finding ourselves.
Yeah.
To a point where right now where you are, you think when you found yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm so content thinking, yeah, this is it. I found myself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not it. And we are still finding ourselves. And another thing, you find out so many people want to be in one wave. And I just want to go with their wave.
Mm-hmm.
And but you find out that's not even your calling. Who's Chile Sutu? Mepungeni. Ube pilot, all right. Yeah. You get me? But you get me? But you keep on going to another thing. That's not even your wave, man. That's not even your calling. So that's what kills us the most. I just want to sell cars like over until I want. But that's my calling, man. That's what I like. We are told somebody says it's an old car.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I like. Who's a try pretty fuel in journey? The couple, I'm changing it to something else. Mm-hmm. But that's my thing. So you need to find your thing as well and find your calling. You get me? So those are the things whereby you find yourself soon at 35. But I had a chance to be a pilot. I had a chance to be a doctor. But I listened to my guys just for a peer pressure. I look cool in dirty jeans, smoking weed. But to love is the culture. That's what he wakes up for. You get me? So what I'm saying is, when after 35, 40 years, fuck, this is not me. But to study being a pilot now, it's late.
Yeah.
You might even die at 46.
That's dope.
I think that's like a job close.
Yeah, it's a job close.
We're talking about purpose. We spoke about
pilot.
You wanted to be a pilot. Yeah. And following your way.
Where are
those guys?
So yo, that's it, right? Do you want to close it?
Close it.
What's the change?
Nah, let's just leave it.
But we'll probably have part two.
Let's not dilute it, bro.
Shit. Gilmo, thank you so much, bro.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for that.
You like what he said, huh?
He closed everything that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Literally.
He really has some knowledge. I just don't know what happened. I think he should try this.
Should I write a book?
Should I go back?
Must just go back to school. That's your calling.
You see what he mentioned? He literally mentioned the same thing that is Tuti. At times, it's like everyone is fighting. We're fighting each other instead of just finding our purpose and going with it. It's exactly what he's just saying.
It's all about identity.
Like your wave, you're dressed a certain way because it's what you are all about. He has his own wave. I have my own wave. He's got his own wave. He said
that's it, guys. That. Podcast boys out. Big up on Amanda Manta. Big up.
Are we doing this now?
It's so good. I don't know. I'm not going to pop over it.